The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
On 2UE, George and Paul's Crime File.
Okay, now today it's the poisoner of Frog Hollow.
Yes, we had a listener ring earlier and say on air that he loved the history and Crime File and things like that. Well, it doesn't get much more historical than this. Despite rumours that she was related to the bushranger Ben Hall, there was no reason to believe that when baby Louisa Hall was born in 1849, she would become one of Australia's most infamous women and the last woman to be hanged in New South Wales. Louisa's family worked on a country property in the Hunter Valley, northeast of Sydney, and Louisa was a buxom 16-year-old when she went to work as a housemaid in nearby Merriwa. Her flirtatious nature stirred something in Charles Andrews, a hard-working widowed butcher who was 20 years older than her, so he's 36. Although the high-spirited Louisa and the calm, sober and no doubt boring Charles had little in common, plus the fact that she was 17 while he was 37, Louisa's mother convinced her that the butcher would make a good husband and they were married in August 1865. The happy couple moved to Waterloo in Sydney, where they had their first of seven children. They eventually moved south to Botany Bay to a lovely little spot known as Frog Hollow, a tiny hamlet where visitors could only reach by crossing a narrow bridge over a swamp. It was the ideal place for a murder. Louisa rapidly grew bored of the lonely life of motherhood and household chores at lonely Frog Hollow with just the occasional neighbour and, of course, the frogs. When the couple fought, which was most of the time, she would head straight for the nearby Pier Hotel, where the locals knew her well as a good-time girl, especially with a few beers under her belt.
Bit of lubrication there, eh?
Well, I'm sort of dancing around.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I think people can read between the lines.
I hope you're getting the impression.
She was loose with her favours.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, loose that's with it, her favours. Yes. Or generous with her favours.
Generous
with her favours.
That's nice. Eh? Yeah. Louisa would openly talk about her unhappy marriage and played up with an endless queue of sexual partners. In the meantime, poor Charles Andrews worked and looked after the kids in wedded ignorance, telling anyone who would listen that his high-spirited wife needed a break from time to time from the home and him and seven kids. Louisa decided that she and Charles should take in boarders at their cottage in a way of sort of help with paying the rent, earning some extra money. Charles had no other choice than to accept, and in no time at all, stories spread through the community that Louisa was cutting out the rent with her boarders while her husband worked hard to put food on the table. It was at the Pier Hotel in 1886 that Louisa first met Michael Peter Collins, a 22-year-old wool shed labourer from Ballarat. Although 14 years younger than Louisa, she felt an immediate spark and easily convinced Collins to move into the cottage as a boarder.
Boarder with privileges.
Indicating that there would be a few side treats, along with the usual bed and breakfast.
Yeah, more than Weet-Bix here, let me tell you.
The resulting affair was anything but a secret in the area, and perhaps if they had been a little more discreet, her old man would never have found out. But his patience finally gave out just before Christmas, and he physically threw Collins out of the house, grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, out you go, shot him straight out the front door. Louisa ran to the local police station to report the situation, and the officer on duty calmed her down and sent her home to try to smooth things out. On her way home, she decided that life would be so much better with her husband out of the way. The fact that Charles's life was heavily insured made the decision to kill him just that much easier. Soon after, Charles fell mysteriously ill, and on the 7th of January 1887, the family physician, Dr. Marshall, pronounced him dead from an acute attack of gastritis. With her husband's body not yet cold, that afternoon Louisa claimed £200. God, strike me pink, George. Can you imagine
that's
how
a lot
much
of money.
£200 yeah. pounds was back then?
When it was real money.
This is in 1887, which was an absolute fortune at the time.
But geez, they pay out quickly in those days.
They do.
I think it takes a lot longer today, Gigi.
They do, only a couple of days from the...
No, well, his body wasn't cold.
From the Australian
widow. You
said
widow. His body wasn't cold.
This, she just went down to the Australian widow.
You might
widow,
have stretched it a touch there.
Widow's Fund, I could have done. Widow's Fund in Sydney. Louisa was now very, very rich, and the free woman, and just 3 days after the death of her husband, she celebrated by throwing a wild party at her cottage, which lasted all night. Once it was over, Michael Collins moved back in as a permanent resident. However, Louisa forgot to tell her oldest son, Herbert, who was by now an adult living in Maitland, that his father had died. Herbert only learned the news through the proverbial grapevine. Understandably put out, Herbert went to the cottage at Frog Hollow, only to find Michael Collins ensconced there. He confronted his mother about the situation and brought up the matter of the insurance money, explaining that she should have at least given him a share of it. Herbert said that he could have opened a shop, which in turn could have supported the whole family. Louisa seemed to care little. She couldn't care less. 9 weeks later, Louisa married Michael Collins, and on the official papers, she took 10 years off her age, writing 28 years of age down instead of 38. She's knocked 10 years off her age, and she's got all this money. She was now only 4 years older than her new spouse. The happy couple and her children relocated to a cottage in North Botany. But it didn't last. Gee, how would you pick that? Content, with a roof over his head and 3 meals a day, Michael Collins took to gambling away all of the insurance money instead of providing for the family. Eventually broke, Louisa wanted to return to Frog Hollow, but her old cottage now had new residents, so they moved nearby, where Michael continued about his ambitionless ways. 7 months after they were married, they had a baby boy who passed away at the age of 5 months. A neighbour later said that the child had swollen lips and tongue when it died. At last, Louisa grew weary of her seemingly dead-end second marriage, and it didn't take much to get her off her back to get her back to the Pier Hotel, where she hit the bottle harder than ever and took any opportunity to tell her fellow drinkers what a no-hoper her new husband was. Back home, Michael lay around all day while the children ran amok naked through the filthy house. She decided it was time for him to go. Curiously, Michael had no life insurance and had actually managed to get a job, earning a decent wage of 36 shillings a week when Louisa got around to putting her poisonous plan into effect. Michael soon began to experience acute abdominal pain, which stopped him from attending his work. Dr. Marshall came to check on him, and while the physician was there, Louisa played the role of the loving, attentive wife. But it didn't work, and following Michael Collins' death, Dr. Marshall informed the police that he believed that the deaths of Mrs. Collins' two husbands and baby boy were a little more than coincidental. The authorities wasted no time searching the Frog Hollow cottage and in the sink found an unwashed glass containing traces of arsenic. The bodies of Charles Andrews and the little boy she had with Michael Collins were exhumed and both contained traces of arsenic. Louisa was charged with double murder. At her trial, Louisa tried to convince the jury that Michael Collins had committed suicide, but no one believed that a person who wanted to kill himself would choose such a painful and drawn-out method of arsenic poisoning. Because of the unusual circumstances, Louisa would have to go through four separate trials, four of them, but there was little surprise when she was finally found guilty at the last one. On the 8th of December, 1888, 39-year-old Louisa Collins was sentenced to death. Now, on the gallows, God, listen to this, on the gallows, the hangman taunted poor Louisa with these.